You're listening to Friggin' Fabulous Radio.
Joe Franklin here, as in Joe Memory Lane Franklin, tuning in with you, enjoying Friggin' Fabulous Radio, and saying, as Jimmy Durante would say, this radio station is fantastical. Stay right here with Friggin' Fabulous Radio.
Friggin' Fabulous Radio. All right, that was Money by Pink Floyd. And I think everybody knows that tune, and it's a great one. And we're going to move right along here. I'm here with Jessica on Friggin' Fabulous Radio.
Hello.
We're going to switch gears a little bit here. I
have to say, this one is definitely in my top 10.
It's definitely...
It was the first song that I thought of when you... When you said, hey, get your bass list together. It was
correct.
The first song that I thought of.
And interestingly, I asked my friend Joe, you know Joe
mm-hmm.
B.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him for
Hi,
his
Joe.
Number one.
He's a good guy.
And he said theme from Barney Miller.
Hey, there we go. Yeah, so this is number 17, theme from Barney Miller by Jack Elliott. And of course, you know, Barney Miller, if you're not familiar, you know, got to watch some TV Land if you're not familiar with it.
Indeed.
It was, it was Hal Linden, and he played a cop in, I believe it was in New York Precinct.
Yeah, Manhattan, yep. And a very funny show. Abe Vigoda was on the show as Fish.
Yes, he's still alive.
He is. I saw him recently in a diner in New York City, actually.
No way.
Yeah.
Did you say hi?
I kind of waved to him. He looked like he was in a very grumpy mood, so we didn't...
Well, he always looked kind of grumpy. But
yeah. But he was just sitting there, like, in sweatpants, having lunch.
Ah, the little old grumpy man in sweatpants. We love you, Abe Vigoda. Now, this song is actually by a guy named Jack Elliott. And I had to look up, you know, Jack Elliott. There wasn't a bassist actually tied to this, so I would venture to guess it's probably... studio musicians.
Right.
But he wrote it. He actually died in 2001. The show debuted in 1975. And apparently Jack Elliott, he was very, very well known. He's the co-founder and music director of the American Jazz Philharmonic. And he was the creator of the Henry Mancini Institute. He was also a longtime music director of the Grammy Awards for actually 30 years. He did
Just
it.
Pretty amazing.
He also scored movies including The Jerk, Oh God, and he was very prolific when it came to TV themes. He wrote the theme for Night Court and...
Charlie's Angels.
Yes, one of our favorite jiggle shows ever.
Right, I think I had the poster when I was a kid.
Oh, who didn't? Who didn't have that? But wait, which one? The Farrah Fawcett?
Well, no, the one with all three of them, like with the guns. Kinda.
Oh, nice, nice, yeah. Nice. I think I used to, when I was a kid, I used to play Charlie's Angels with two of my friends. Oh, I guess... Oh, can we edit that out? Nah, leave it in. Leave it in. And by the way, here's a real piece of trivia for you, according to Wikipedia. So it could be right, could be wrong, but it is. Apparently, Jack Elliott, the creator of the theme from Barney Miller, is the uncle of Gina Gershon.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Neither did I. This is number 17, theme from Barney Miller by Jack Elliott.
We'll be right back. Okay, Friggin' Fabulous Radio. That was the theme from Barney Miller by Jack Elliott. And we're going to move on to an album that I probably played the grooves out of when I first got it years ago by John Coltrane, A Love Supreme. Of course, we're not going to play the 35-minute version or whatever it is. We'll maybe play the first movement. But John Coltrane, amazing story. He was way ahead of his time. He always played with great bass players, but he was obviously a sax genius. He actually changed jazz a lot with Miles Davis, but he went even into a different territory. He didn't do the safe, classical, traditional jazz that everybody wanted to hear.
Right.
He went into this weird, almost atonal stuff. And
love it.
Oh, it's great.
Love all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And this album, one of the best things about this album, besides the music, is the album cover, which has, it's black and white, and it's Coltrane with his sax in a suit with a very serious, imposing look on his face. And it's just a great...
Nice.
You know.
In all honesty, I didn't know much about this particular piece of music, so I wanted to educate myself on what it is. And it's actually a four-part suite, I found out. And it has four, there are four named movements of it. Acknowledgement, resolution, pursuance, and psalm. And it's actually very spiritual. And the final track of it, psalm, corresponds to the wording of a devotional poem Coltrane included in the liner notes. So obviously this was a very, very personal, I would venture to guess probably signature piece of his.
Well, it's very personal. And one of the amazing things about this album is he was a very bad heroin addict. And he basically locked himself into a room. He told his wife...
Wait a minute, what is it with musicians and heroin?
It was especially bad with jazz musicians back then. But anyway, he didn't want to be a heroin addict anymore, so he went cold turkey. He locked himself in a small bedroom in his apartment, told his wife, lock the door and don't let me out for 3 days or something. I forget if it was 3 or 4 days. She just left food at the door for him. And he went in with his saxophone, his musical paper, and wrote A Love Supreme while he was quitting his heroin addiction. So that's another amazing thing about this album is it was basically him having a rebirth, sort of. You know, that's why it's so spiritual, I think.
And this is number 16, A Love Supreme by John Coltrane.
Thank you.
free, I love to 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 free.
And you are listening to Friggin' Fabulous Radio. Yes, this is Nick. And say hello, Nick.
Hi, and I'm Jessica.
Hi. And we're doing the top 25 best bass lines ever. And it's quite a jump now from 16 to 15. At 16, we have A Love Supreme by John Coltrane, came out in 1964. Well, now let's fast forward over time and musical genre to, wow, this one I'm stunned by, but you gotta love it. Rio by Duran Duran.
Indeed. And I'm dedicating this to Mackie Mackie, my friend Matt. He's a big Duran Duran fan, and he sends me like the YouTube stuff where there's one clip he sent me where it actually teaches you how to play the bass line from Rio.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now, I have to say, when this song came up, I mean, I think of more of the synth side of it as opposed to the bass side of it, and it really made me sit down and listen to that song in a very different way. And I was really impressed by the musicality of Duran Duran. I mean, because you thought, well, you know, they're a teeny bopper band, blah, blah, blah. But yet, they have this great, strong musicianship. And, of course, the bassist is one of the Taylors, John Taylor.
Right.
And pretty amazing. Rio, the album, came out in 1982.
82.
Oh, I feel old.
Me too. But, and they also had all those great videos for this album, too. That was like in the early days of MTV, so.
Oh, yeah. And do you remember the album cover?
I do.
By the artist's name, I believe his name is Nagel, with that, you know, fancy sort of kind of art deco-y kind of chick.
Right.
Going on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We all remember that one. So this is number 15, Rio by Duran Duran.
Let's
Friggin' Fabulous Radio. We're back.
Yes, we are.
Nick and Jessica.
Hello.
And we just heard Rio by Duran Duran. And now we're going to move on to number 14 in our countdown. This is one of my favorite songs, and it actually, still to this day, gives me chills every time I hear it.
Me too.
This is one of those songs, Under Pressure by Queen. And, of course, it was written and performed by Queen and David Bowie. The bass player was John Deacon. And, of course, we know this bass line. I think Vanilla Ice used it, and there was a big controversy about that.
That clown car. He's so ridiculous. He tried to convince a jury that it was, or tried to convince the world, I would say, that it was slightly different.
Yeah.
Because he added another note in there, I think. Yeah, right. Who are you fooling? Nobody.
This is a great song for so many reasons, but in my opinion, two of the best singers ever in rock and roll, Freddie Mercury and David Bowie. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the range that they have, and to have them together on the same song in such a great song, pretty amazing to me, I gotta say.
I agree. But there was a little confusion about the bass line. John Deacon, who is the bassist, said in a Japanese magazine in 1982, which is when the album Hot Space, on which this song was from, came out,
right,
that Bowie had actually created the bass line. And now, fast forward a little bit, Brian May and Roger Taylor, also of Queen, have credited the bass riff to Deacon. Now, Bowie has come out and said that it was already written before he even came on board.
Which I believe, but who knows?
Right. But according to Stylus magazine, does that even exist? I don't even know if it does. But in September of 2005, this song was actually singled out as the bass line was the best one in popular music history. I'm assuming either by vote or critical choice.
Right. Which I wouldn't argue with. That's very interesting. Thing about Bowie is he does play every instrument and he does compose, so it is very possible that he came up with this bass line.
Well, in a collaboration, who really gets credit for what, you know?
Yeah, who knows? In any case, maybe he came up with the first two notes, you know.
And then and then
John Deacon came up with the next two.
Hey, you
and then Vanilla Ice wrote the last note.
And then put that extra note in there for some ice.
Exactly.
Quality. Oh, ew. Let's stick with the original song, shall we?
Yes, and this is Under Pressure by Queen with David Bowie.
Pressure. turned away from it all like a blind man. Sat on the fence, but I don't want.
Keep coming up with love, but it's so slashed and torn.
Why?
All right, Friggin' Fabulous Radio. This is Nick.
And I'm Jessica.
And we're deep into our countdown, our top 25 best bass lines of all time.
Yes, as nominated and voted for by you.
By
the
you.
The fabulous listener.
Exactly. And we're going to move along. We just heard Under Pressure by Queen with David Bowie. And we're going to move on. This is kind of in the same vein, I would say, earlier, of course. This one is by Roxy Music. And in my opinion, they're a very underrated band overall.
Oh, I agree.
A bunch of geniuses basically came out of that band. Most notably, Brian Eno.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, everyone knows Brian Ferry. But in any case, Love is the Drug. And I think anybody that grew up in 70s or 80s knows this song.
Yes.
Has heard it at a high school or a college party, mm-hmm. or it's almost like an anthem, you know?
Although I have to say this, the first time I became aware of this song was a cover by Grace Jones, which
is an
amazing version. And when I hear a cover song, if it's one that really hits me, that I really want to go back and listen to the original. And I went back and listened to the original, and I was really struck by the ambiance of it. And that's the one thing that I really, the word that encapsulates Roxy Music to me is ambiance. I always feel like when I listen to their music that I walk into a room and it's just full and large and you're just enveloped by sound.
Absolutely. They're saying love is the drug, but I think a lot of people did a lot of drugs while they were listening to Love is the Drug. So it's about drugs and love.
There you go. Hey, yeah. You know, it's an anthem for the 70s, right? It was released on the album Siren, 1975. And Brian Ferry, the song started out as an instrumental with Andy McKay. And Brian Ferry put the lyrics on, and he said the song came to him while he was walking and kicking leaves in Hyde Park.
Wow, how cool. Well, this is number 13, Love is the Drug by Roxy Music.
Thank you. I need to score. Showing up, showing up, hit them run. Boy meets girl where the beat goes on. Stitched up tight, can't shake free. Love is the drug, got a hook on me.
Friggin' Fabulous Radio. I'm Jessica, sitting with Nick.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, excellent. Number 13, you just heard Love is the Drug by Roxy Music. Now number 12 on our list of the top 25 best bass lines ever. Number 12. Oh, this one, you cannot help but get swept along. I don't think, when I hear it, and wow. It's Whipping Post by the Allman Brothers Band.
Absolutely. I mean, this is one of those songs that everyone can relate to, mm-hmm. but it kind of like reaches in and just rips your soul out. It's like, I just think it's, and it's such a memorable bass line, especially the live version, you know.
Oh, the live, well, the live version is the best one.
Absolutely. Which is true with a lot of the bands from that era.
Oh, yeah.
The live version is usually the best version. Not that the studio version isn't great.
Oh, no. I mean, we're not doing some studio work.
No, not at all.
But they were definitely a band that, I wish I had seen them live.
I've seen them live a few times. They still do.
Well, this was actually on, released on the album, the Allman Brothers Band in 1969. And here's another little tidbit for you. The Allmans had a compilation album called One More Try in an Anthology, which came out not long ago, I guess. And apparently the song was inspired by Greg's despair over his failure to make a name for himself in the business. Apparently he had tried and tried and tried and tried, and he just kept getting kicked. And you can really hear his agony over fact that, you know, he had these big dreams and then nothing.
Amazing. And we were talking about covers before. Mm. One of the best covers ever in the history of covers is Frank Zappa's version of Whipping Post. And in fact, he actually hired one of his vocalists. This guy, Bobby Martin, kept bugging him, bugging him and bugging him. He was a keyboardist and a vocalist and damn good. And he's like, I want to be in your band. I want to, he used to just show up like at his shows and I want to be in your band. I want to be in your band.
Right.
And, you know, Zappa got that a lot. But anyway, except sending him demo tapes and all that. So finally, he gets face-to-face with Zappa, and he says, I want to be in your band. And he goes, okay, fine. He goes, come to rehearsal tomorrow. He goes, if you can sing Whipping Post as good as the Allman Brothers, you're hired. Came to rehearsal the next day. Bobby Martin sang Whipping Post and did an amazing, amazing version, and he hired him that day.
Wow.
And he was in the band till the very end.
Nice.
After that.
Nice. Now, I have to say, I think one of my favorite versions of Whipping Post, there's a singer here in New York, and her name is Lena Katrakis.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen her many, many times at Joe's Pub. She does torch songs, and, of course, she does rockin' songs. And she's got an amazing voice, and she does an amazing version of Whip and Post. And the first time I heard her perform it live, she has jazz musicians with her too. And so there was that sort of bluesy end of the jazz that she was doing. And then when the vocals actually kicked in, I was blown away. So that's one of my favorites. And if you've never seen Lena Katrakis, oh yeah, you need to.
Yes, I haven't. And I'd like to actually. We'll have to do that.
Oh, there we go. That's what we're going to do next.
Excellent.
So this is number 12, Whippin' Post by the Allman Brothers Band.
I've been running.
Friggin' Fabulous Radio. This is Nick, and I'm here with Jess.
Hello.
And we just heard Whipping Post by the Allman Brothers Band. And we're going to move on now to one of my probably top five favorite bands of all time, The Clash. And there are so many great bass lines, to be honest. But this is the one that everybody knows. It's London Calling, off London Calling. Interesting thing about Joe Strummer, who basically is the frontman of The Clash. He was actually, I just read this recently in the New York Times. They did a good story. Was actually a hippie. Like a total long hair, patchouli oil, pot smoking, squatting hippie. Like totally.
Wow.
Flower child.
Wow.
And he saw.
I just can't reconcile that image with, you know, what I know of them now. It's just so strange.
And it's amazing. And unfortunately, I couldn't find any pictures of that. I don't know if any pictures of him were taken in that stage of his life. Mm. But according to this article, he saw the Sex Pistols one night and totally changed. He cut all his hair, dyed it blonde, wore the spiked studded leather jacket, and became, you know, one of the kings of punk rock. You know. Total image change. Thank God he did, because I don't know if I could listen to The Clash if it was psychedelic hippie music.
Oh, no. I mean, you're talking, what, Clash on one hand and Strawberry Alarm Clock on the other
right.
one? No. I know what wins. And that would be The Clash for me. I mean, The Clash has always been an amazing band. What I always appreciated about them is their intelligence. That it wasn't, now granted, a lot of the songs were short, you know, short, sharp, sweet, you know,
right.
the whole thing. But there was... what blew my mind was the album Sandinista.
Great
which
album.
Was just like... You know, because it really said to me that they were thoughtful and they had awareness outside of their own environment.
Right. And they were very, Joe Strummer was always very political and always anti-establishment. And that comes out on the song London Calling, but all their albums. And London Calling is, I love Sandinista, but London Calling is probably my favorite.
Oh, yes. You must own it. You must own that album.
You must own it.
Yes. The album cover for London Calling is phenomenal. I mean, it's one of those, like the Clapton is God thing. It's an iconic photograph, really.
Absolutely.
And it's actually taken by Penny Smith, and it's of the bassist of the band, and I want to see if I get this right, Paul Simonon?
Paul Simonon. Yeah,
Simonon.
I think so.
Okay. And the shot was taken at the Palladium in New York City. Shout out to the hometown team.
Yeah.
And it was done on September of 1979 during the Clash Take the Fifth U.S. tour. Now, Penny Smith, the photographer, didn't actually like it as a cover shot because it was blurry, but Joe Strummer said, that's the one.
Use it. And it's just a classic pose.
It is. And that's on the album cover of London Calling, which came out in 1979. This is number 11, London Calling by The Clash.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is bitten the dust. London calling. See, we ain't got no swing except for the rain and the crunch of things. The ice age is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is within. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. The imitation zone. Forget it, brother. You can go it alone. London calling to the zombies of death. Quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling, and I don't wanna shout, but while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see we ain't got no hide except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in.
into stuff on it. The wheat is going to be a nuclear error, but I have no fear, cause London is drowning. It was true. London calling at the top of the dial.